Thank you, John. And I want to thank all of you for joining us tonight. I think the Lord wants to do something special in us and through us. So I'm going to talk to you about the nature and character of God and about intercession. You can turn, if you have your Bibles, to Isaiah 57, 14 and 15. And it will be said, build up, build up, clear the ways, remove the stumbling blocks out of the way of the spiritual return of my people. For the high and exalted one, he who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, says this, I dwell on the high and holy place, but also with the contrite and humble spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite, overcome with sorrow for sin. So I think that one of the paramount things that the Bible helps us to understand about God is his holiness. When you speak of God and his holiness, you are speaking of such as his moral integrity. You're speaking of not something that he has, but what he is. There is no one in heaven or on the earth that has never sinned. But it can be said of God, said of Christ, said of the Holy Spirit, that the Godhead has never sinned. They've never miscommunicated. They've never deceived in their communications. They have never implied one thing and done another. God is not man that he can tell a lie. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He will never change. He changes not. And Christ dwells in the holy place with the Father, with the Holy Spirit. Meaning to us that Christ bears the same holiness that our Father bears and that the Spirit of God bears. This holiness is without turning. It is without compromise. It is without apology. If God could change that part of himself, he would no longer be God. As a matter of fact, not only would he no longer be God, but everything that he has created would fall into non-existence. He holds the worlds together by way of his holiness. His holiness causes every word that comes out of his mouth to be absolute truth. Sometimes we don't understand what he's saying. We'll interpret what he's saying through our own perception. And it will seem like God didn't tell the truth. But the reality is, the problem was our perception, not his integrity. He is a God who loves, because you cannot have holiness without love. You must open your hearts and learn to love the unlovely. And this isn't just patting someone on the back and saying, I love you, bro, or I love you, sis, or maybe you have problems with family members. And so rather than have bitterness and fights and so on and so forth, you'll tell them that you love them. But in your heart of hearts, the love isn't there. And should they make a mistake or do something wrong, your heart is not one of forgiveness. It's one of bitterness, critical spirit. It's one of maybe even going to the point of diminishing that person's character because of a mistake. Love doesn't do that. Love covers all sins. The Bible says a multitude of sins. I'll never forget one time when an angel came to me and said to me, I'm going to take you to a church, and I'm going to let you see what a pastor is doing in the downstairs level of his church. When he took me there, the pastor wasn't even engaged in Christian activity. He thought he was. But the activity he was engaged in was New Age. Yet he himself believed that what he was doing was of God. I pulled back and tears were in my eyes, and I asked the angel, how did he fall into this deception? How did this happen? And the angel said to me, he told me how many sins this pastor had committed in his lifetime. And he told me he only has X amount of sins that he can still commit without losing his salvation. The day he crosses over, he will lose his soul. So you must pray for him. And I did. I prayed for him every single day for about 2 years. Today, I don't know where he is or what he's doing, but I do know that he did lose his church. But the loss of his church was because of the things that he was propagating to his congregation. It really was a blessing from the Lord, because the hope was that it would bring him into a place of brokenness and contrition, that he would turn from the sin. And that's exactly what happened to him. So God is holy, but because he is also love, he will endure with us. He will engage his loving kindness, his mercy, his compassion, his grace, to help us overcome everything we are called to overcome in this life. Now, the things that I'm called to overcome may be different than the things that you're called to overcome. It's not important that you overcome the things that I'm called to overcome. What is important is that your life is pure, holy, and submitted to God, and that you have learned how to walk in the love of God. If you haven't learned how to walk in the love of God, then this is a good day to start trying. Trying to walk in love and asking the Lord for the grace of his divine love to stand between you and the people that it is difficult for you to love. So God is holy. God is saying to America, even at this time, prepare ye, prepare ye, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Take out the stumbling blocks that my people can return to me. And this is where intercession comes in, but I want to come back to that in a minute. The next thing he says is that he dwells in a high and holy place. And unless you have been taken into that presence, a presence that is so holy, you cannot speak a word. You can think a thought, but with fear and trembling. But you cannot say a word, because as a human being, even one saved by grace, in his presence, the presence of his holiness, you see the sinful part of your heart the way he sees it, so that you can repent. But this happens, you know, you shed the light on something, and of course we know that God is light. You shed the light on something, and the darkness is going to be seen. And so most people don't want to be confronted with the darkness in their heart. They would rather point the finger of guilt at someone else than they would to have God invade their secret darkness and be cleansed and healed themselves. And that's where an angry, critical spirit comes from. As an intercessor, we don't want to live that way. We want to live in such a way that our life literally speaks a holy regard for a holy God and his holiness. We watch what we say, we watch what we do, we're quick to repent, quick to apologize, because holiness begets humility. In fact, you can't have the level of holiness that is available to the church unless your heart is deeply humble. And only God can bring it there. And how does he bring your heart to this divine humility? He does it through convicting you of sin and bringing you to contrition over your sin. When you see your sin through God's eyes, it is so horrifying. You would go through anything. You would do anything. You would allow anything to be freed of the sin that's in your heart. Because you want to be beautiful before the Lord, not only in Christ's own righteousness imputed, but you want to be beautiful before the Lord in Christ's own righteousness that has been imparted as you have repented of the darkness that keeps Christ out of these sacred and secret places. So God says, I live in a high and holy place. Now think about this for a moment. He is high, he is holy, and therefore wherever he dwells, it is holy because it's a dwelling place of God. If it's man's heart, well, the Bible tells us that there is nothing good in our heart. There's nothing in our sinful nature that is good. And we have the flesh also to contend with. And again, we sin every day, and we sin multitudes of ways every day. If we're not sinning in actual action, we're sinning in the secret thoughts of our heart. Man may not see some of this stuff, but God sees it all. And because he knows of his great love and his desire to purify and deliver his children from the ravages of sin, he covers us with the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If we didn't have that, we could never stand before a holy God. So he dwells in a high and holy place, which he himself makes holy by his very presence. But he also dwells in the heart of the contrite one, of the one who is willing to be convicted of sin and who is willing to be broken over sin, to see sin through his eyes and let him do whatever it's going to take to free us from that terrible, bitter root. He dwells in this place. He comes in to cleanse it for himself so that he can own the whole man. No longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. That is our goal. To realize this goal is through repentance. Much of the work that we have to do, we can't do. But we can repent, allowing him to do what we cannot do in our sin-sick heart and in our soul. So that as he looks at us through the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, he also sees what needs to be cleansed, healed, or even aborted that is in us. And out of his great love, he sent his son here to make a way for this endeavor where there is no way. He has to do it all. He had to forgive us on the cross. He had to be willing to come into a place that is unholy and make it holy. And why was he willing? Because of his great love. His love for us was so filled with compassion, long-suffering, mercy, desire, passion. I can remember a time that I was taken to heaven and allowed to watch something that took place between the Father and the Son. I'm standing off far enough that I can still hear what they're saying to one another, but not to intrude in their privacy. So the Father said to the Son, I want you to look at what has happened to our creation. And the Son looked in the direction that the Father pointed, and he was looking at planet Earth. And he saw the sin, the ravaging of sin. He saw, oh my goodness, he saw such great abhorrence that it was a travesty. It was a tragedy. In one respect, Christ knows it all, right? But here is a conversation taking place between the Father and Son, as though he is needing to instruct the Son. I don't understand all of this. I only know what I saw. So as Jesus is beholding the earth and all the sin that was going on in the earth, that caused the Father to command a flood upon the earth. And of course, after the flood, things got even worse. As Christ was looking down upon this, the divisions, the strife, the jealousy, the criticisms, not to mention the sin against one another, in sexual matters, in ritual, and so on and so forth. He begins to weep. And the Father says to him, this is why I asked you if you would be willing to go to earth and allow me to make you the instrument of atonement for those who would receive it. Our Lord stood up, looked at the Father, and he said, Father, I will go. The Father said, you know the suffering you're going to endure. No man has ever endured such suffering as I'm asking you to endure. Are you sure? The Lord turned around, looked back in the direction of earth upon all of the scum and revelry and heinous sins that were going on, tears still falling down his cheeks. He turned back to the Father and he said, not only will I go, but I must go. Man can never be saved without me making this sacrifice. And the Father said, you are my Son. I will do whatever you say. And Christ said, I will go, and I will endure the cross. I will carry man's sin upon myself, that they might be healed, that they might be saved. I will do that for you, Father, and for me, and for them. And it was settled. It was settled right then and there. So Jesus came. He lived a holy and a pure life. He became an image to us of what the Father desires us to be. Of course, Christ was all God and all man, and we can never be that. All we can do is be man endowed with God in our entirety. So he came that we could be delivered from the slave market of sin. And believe me, until you have seen sin through God's eyes, you really don't know the slavery your soul is in and my soul is in. But Paul saw it, and that's why he used that vernacular, that terminology. He said, you are a slave to the one that you worship. You're a slave. If you practice sin, you're a slave to sin. If you practice holiness, then you are a servant of holiness. Now, I've been in the ministry about 40 years, and I have to be honest with you. A lot of Christians don't want to hear the kind of message I'm giving to you. They'll either complain about the vernacular, although it's biblical, or they will complain about the message because they are entrapped. Their eyes are blinded to the beauty and the value of the truth I'm bringing forth. But if you want to be mightily used of God in intercession or the call to the ministry, whatever it may be that you God has put in your heart as a passion, you must be holy. He told me about 2 years after I got saved in a vision that in these last days, he will require and use the golden vessels. Silver vessels will not be accounted for in this hour. The golden vessels, those who have gone through the trials, the tribulations, the purging, and into the purity that Christ can inhabit in its entirety, will be adorned, granted such authority and power as would only be seen in heaven. The closest that we've ever come is with Moses and the miracles that he did. But Moses, his sinful nature had been crucified, and he was living in union with God. That's why the glory shined from him the way it did. So if we want to be mightily used of God in the days ahead, we must start preparing through daily repentance at least once a week. But if it's possible to do it every day, you need to do it every day until he has cleansed your heart of all unrighteousness, then he will crucify the sinful nature, and he will lift you up to live in himself, just as his word promises. Now, those who are going on in this journey and moving very close to that condition, even now, those are the ones that he is beginning to use, maybe in a hidden way, a secret way at first, But when the day comes to bring them out front and center, they will come out front and center, dressed in his majesty, adorned in his glory, walking in his wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and prudence, and exercising the authority of heaven and the power of heaven. No one on this earth is there yet. No one is being used in that way yet. But it will come, and it will come to those who have prepared themselves. And having prepared themselves, they will go forth crying, prepare, prepare, prepare ye the way. Prepare ye the way for the Holy One. And in their very words, the power and authority will be so great that those who are listening and who desire to see the glory will be cleansed. They will experience a tremendous breaking of the darkness in their heart. So that a very quick, rapid cleansing will take place and perhaps even prepare them for union themselves. If you want your prayers answered, large and small, even large enough to change the relationship between a nation and God, you must walk in an authority and a power that is unprecedented. You must walk in a place where God can trust you with the power and authority of heaven. Even a higher power and authority than what is typically seen on this earth, let alone the power and authority of heaven. Purging and purification, that Christ might be the indwelling one, not just in your heart, but in your mind, your soul, your body, that he will own you as he is owned by the Father. And in using you, there will be no limitations because you have overcome the world. And in overcoming the world, the limitations as to how God will use you are automatically removed. One might say, well, how do you do that? I mean, that sounds so awesome, it sounds so mighty, but how does someone like me come into that place? It's very simple, really. I'm not saying that the journey is easy, but the principle is simple. You start by having a time of worship, prayer, and intercession. Worship, prayer, which includes repentance, and intercession for those who do not even deserve your intercession, and for those who need your intercession. The more time you spend in really high quality prayer, worship, prayer, and intercession, the closer you're moving for the Lord to be able to use you as though you were standing at the foot of his throne. Further, he will bring you to a place where nothing will matter except pleasing your Savior. You won't have to work at it anymore. You won't have to discipline yourself to enter into that place because you'll be walking in it. And when your heart is given over to the passion of pleasing your Lord, God can use you in many ways and in many things that he can't use you in until that happens. We're human, We're going to make mistakes. But the important thing is that we don't live by our mistakes, but that we live by the Word of God and by the vision of Jesus Christ. When we've come to do these two things, everything in our world has begun to change and will continue to change until it is in alignment with the will of God. So who has to be there first? You and me. Then those prayers that we want to pray, need to pray so loftily, we will pray in the brokenness and contrition of Christ himself. And he will hear and he will answer. God is going to bring significant healing to America. Healing such as we have never seen, didn't know that we could ever hope to have. America is going to be changed in such a way that we are going to stand in awe. It has only just begun. But the more things that are turned over through prayer and through the obedience of those who have been called, the higher we're going to go in having a nation given over to righteousness and to the pleasure of and now, right at this time, when it would seem like surely the autumn of our faith, we're beginning to see it. We're beginning to see not only our president, but others who are trying to work with him, who love America, fighting for righteousness in this nation, overturning the darkness, revealing the darkness in such a way that the nation, the hope is that the nation, not just the church, but the nation will come to hate and fear the darkness they once worshipped and will turn to the sun, see the light, and join the battle. That's the hope. And God will raise enough people up in these last days to not only pray this into being, but to maintain it through their intercessions. And if in your heart you're saying, I want to be one of those. I want to be one of those. I want him to use me like that. Then just do what I'm saying to do. Cleanse your heart before the Lord and keep cleansing it. Worship him. Pray and intercede. And he will use you to do what you never dreamed in a million years you could do. Amen. Amen.
Amen.